Welcome to Mommy Heal Thyself. We feature guests who provide you with the tools, resources, and strategies you need to say no to a life of pain and suffering from all forms of preventable disease, toxic drugs, and unnecessary surgeries. We hope to inspire you to boldly reclaim your ability to heal and to serve the ones you love.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Mommy Heal Thyself. Today, I have the pleasure of introducing you to Louise Sutherland Hoyt. Now, Louise is a seasoned therapist, Vietnam veteran, elder in training, firewalker, peak bagger, and devoted mother, grandmother, wife, and partner. Woo! I tell you, I don't know how she has been able to accomplish all of these things. You know, grounded in decades of clinical work and inspired by the ancient philosophy of the Stoics, Louise lives and teaches the truth. We may not control what has happened, but we are responsible for how we meet it. Her work through therapy, writing, community, helps others to respond to life's deepest wounds with integrity, tenderness, and courage. Louise speaks especially to the quiet suffering of women, the suffering that women carry, born from a contagion of inauthenticity, a state that continues to plague generations of women, urging them to abandon their inner truth in order to feel connected. Rather than rushing to fix, she invites reverence to abide with pain, listen deeply, and keep company with what cannot be undone. My dear Louise, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much. What a great introduction.
It is just my honor to be with you here in this space and time. You know, a big part of why we created this podcast to begin with was to help women to enter into that sacred space to be able to heal themselves. And I think that's why learning about the work that you do resonates so deeply with me. You know, the fact that it is imperative for us to create space and not rush through the experience of living. So if you can tell us a little bit more about how this journey began and what was your experience being engaged in Vietnam?
Well, I want to clarify one thing, Michelle, and that is I served during the Vietnam War. I was not deployed. There were plenty of women who were. I worked in the aviation school at Fort Rucker and trained pilots who were bound for Vietnam in how to fly by instruments. And later, I was an air traffic control tower operator until my discharge from the Army honorably in 1974. Mm-hmm. I was driven to join the Army after high school, mainly because I was inspired by all of the aircraft and aviation activity that was going on around my hometown. I fell in love with it and decided, you know, I need to do that. And I did.
Well, I want to say that I'm here to honor you because to me, just the same way in which our military wives create that support network for our men who go overseas and are deployed, are in combat, the same is true for those components of our military that are not necessarily deployed in combat. But it's just like when we look at a play, and a lot of times we give a lot of credit to the actors, but we don't take into consideration all the people that are working backstage, without whom there would be no production. And so I in no way am going to be party of undervaluing the contribution that you made. I know you want to be humble, but That is not, I am not going to allow you to be humble. I want to say thank you and thank you and thank you.
Well, thank you, Michelle, for saying we all pray for peace.
Exactly. And that's why your work is so critical, because especially as we go through this crazy time at this point, in our journey as human beings, I think it is so critical for us to recognize the damage that can be done, and more importantly, what needs to be done to heal and hopefully prevent reoccurrences. Although, with the insanity of our world, I don't think we're going to avoid certain things. So that's why it's so imperative that we learn from you in order to prepare for the healing that we know is going to come. So tell me a little bit more about how you entered into this space of healing.
Of healing. The word healing is nice, and it implies like there's an end game
Oh no,
somewhere
it's ongoing.
at healing. And so the way I have begun, the way I couch my work is I do it with tending, tending being a verb, action involved, working, nurturing, caring for the body, the mind, the soul, especially the heart, and a good sense of fullness in our present moment. So my work I call soul tending. And it's, can just picture a mom tending to her infant in a way that is loving and full and rich.
So talk to me a little bit more about the concept of over-serving and how that leads to inauthenticity.
Well, over-serving, you normally connect with like serving too much booze in the bar. And I'm, people are over-serving, but that comes from a lot of different factors. But women, when we apply this to women, myself especially included, we serve and we serve to the point where other people's needs, other people's peace, other people's concerns and happiness, we take on as one of the heaviest burdens we could ever
Our own.
possibly carry. And so over-serving is, overextending ourselves, believing that the unchangeable is changeable, that we have some sort of unconscious special sauce that will take care of everything, and everything good and everything will be fine. And as long as we think happy thoughts, everything's going to be just fine. And over-serving leads to this, what I have coined as a contagion of inauthenticity. So when women overserve, what happens is that, and we learn this from a very, very young age, early childhood, we learn that in order to make ourselves in this world, and this was most certainly true for me, my mom said, would say, boys aren't going to be interested in you if you dress like that, or if you talk like that, or if you have that tone of voice. That attitude will get you nowhere. So, the people pleasing began, the mask, the masquerade, the costumes. And guess what? I parts of myself got tossed, disowned, exiled, and I wasn't even aware this was going on. This happens to so many women that I've worked with, that they just say, I give and I give and I give, and what do I get? Everybody has a piece of me except me.
You remind me of one of the limiting beliefs that I share with people when I work with them, which is that we have been taught that it is better to give than to receive. And what I share with women and others is that that may be true, but it is best to give and receive. And as you said, it's a very challenging reframing for most of us. I remember throughout my life, even throughout my adult life, my mom would always say to me, "Michelle, you know, it's just the lot of women to have to go through it. That's just the cross we have to bear." And I was like,
Why does that ring a
want
bell?
to go around bearing someone else's cross, you know? Jeez.
Go figure. Yeah, same here.
So what do you find is the biggest misconception or error that we make as people in general, and specifically as women, when it comes to how we perceive, as you said, the tending that needs to be done?
Well, you know, Michelle, to let's give credit where credit is due, and that is to the valiant efforts women make to just be well, to serve in balance, and to their limitations. But what happens is in these efforts that are very well intended, often are self-defeating. So I've gathered a list of the few common problems and patterns that I see in my work. One of the first ones is we overthink. We hoard almost self-help books, and we connect with gurus, and we think that venting our anger and our sorrows and our grief works. And we intellectualize, we pursue insight instead of embodiment. We believe there's some sort of end game, as I said earlier, to healing, that it's getting better is some kind of linear process, that there's a goal at the end and life goes on. But you know, these things. Well, you know, we're just never going to be able to talk ourselves or read ourselves out of our histories and our damaging narrative. You know, there's this notion of, I call it misuse of coping strategies. And I'll say right here and now, coping is not a strategy. Coping is like if you're a gardener, it's like pulling weeds off at the surface of the dirt and not getting to the
To the
roots
roots.
of the matter. It's what I adopt this from the 12-step program. It's a short-term solution for a long-term transformation. So coping is good in the moment, and it's okay, it's a safety net, and it doesn't move us ahead. So, misuse of coping strategies, toxic positivity, like that's like being a Pollyanna, denying authentic pain so that we can appear all sweet and smiles and good and energetic and there with the solution. I'm your hero, and I'm here for you.
You
So
know,
we.
it's so critical what you're saying in terms of realizing that this is a journey. It's not a one and done. It's not a quickie. You know, it's not like, okay, I do this and it's over, but rather that healing is a journey. It's a process that's, I tell people, the only time you stop healing is when you're dead, which is literally true, physically,
That
mentally,
is.
emotionally, spiritually, you know. But somehow, as you said, in our culture, we have this microwave mentality of, oh, let's just get it done, right? And then the same thing is true when we're looking, even with our verbiage of saying coping mechanisms. And that is taught over and over when you look at all of these various quote-unquote psychological therapeutic interventions. They talk about helping people with coping strategies. And I love the fact that you're calling it out, like, wait a minute, that's just pulling the weed and not getting to the root. And so basically, when you just pull the weed from the top, it's going to grow back. Why not just take the time to dig into the soil and pull out the entire thing? So I love that you're mentioning that.
I love in my work, and I love to share with my patients. I'm going to ask you a lot of questions because our job is to get to the bottom of what is driving your tendency to overserve. Let's get to the bottom of it, and that's going to require, a lot of footwork. It takes time, it's
It's going to
energy.
require getting dirty, you know? You
Dirty,
can't just be
yeah.
all clean and just yank the little thing. You got to go dig down. And I guess that's what it is, that we've been taught that we shouldn't get dirty,
Oh,
that we
yeah.
shouldn't get down to the nitty-gritty, the stuff that doesn't look pretty, the stuff that you can't put up in your Instagram photos, you know?
Right.
And that's that inauthenticity that you're talking about, that pain is there, that hurt is there, that disconnect is there. And it's only when we have the courage and the time, and we take the time to face that, that we can truly get in there and do the work.
Exactly. Got to get a little dirt underneath those fingernails.
So, what are some things that you have found have been beneficial to helping people to make that shift in paradigm and to actually be successful in getting the work done?
Great question. And it's a question that has existed implicitly or explicitly for thousands of years. Women have been over servers for that long. And there are some notables. But the one thing, and this is common when we talk about the 12-step program, is to recognize where you are in the continuum of this contagion of inauthenticity. How much have you been sucked in? And how much is the pain actually worth it to set aside yourself, those pieces of you that make you who you are, in order to comply with what our culture says? As you say, in these times of stress throughout our culture, throughout our country, it's pretty hard to be genuine in a world that is coming at you from 360 degrees around. It's like a circular firing squad. How does one mind their own personal strengths, virtue, and attributes when there is chaos all around? So recognize that you're in it. I'm going to put my neck out there and say, I don't know if there's any of us who are not in the midst of inauthenticity. We
At some
fear
level.
vulnerability. We don't want to show our soft underside. We avoid emotional pain. We are like a shrink to fit. culture, there's this feedback loop of disconnection, loneliness, being alienated from a sense of belonging. That's, you know, that's one of the major things that my patients who are coming before, and a lot of them are like our age, my age, boomers, who are saying, why do I feel so alone and alienated and isolated? So how do we get started? You know, commit to being authentic. And again, not just coping, but living from your genuine self.
Now, what,
Prospecting. Go ahead.
What, one of the things that I read in one of your works that is one of the little secrets that sometimes we don't want to take ownership of. And that is that part of our desire to overserve is also tied up in actually enabling the people around us and creating a situation where we're promoting codependency, which is not beneficial for either parties. You know, it reminded me of many years ago when I was homeschooling my children, and my son, the eldest son, he's very quick mathematically. You know, he can just do things in his head. And I caught him doing his sister's work. And I said, boy, what are you doing? Are you trying to tell me that your sister is stupid? Do you think your sister is stupid? And he said, no, mom, no, mom. What are you talking about? I was like, when you do your sister's work, what you're saying to me and to her and to everyone else is that you think that she is stupid and she can't do it for herself. And so that's why you have to do it for her. And I think that sometimes as women, we are so caught up in trying to do for others that we don't realize that we are actually enabling them and preventing them from being able to grow and expand and become all that they can be.
You know, this enabling, you know, and coming back to the term of overserving, you know, bartenders overserving is enabling. And you know, when we do that, we stand in the way of whoever it is that we're enabling. We stand in the way of their personal growth, their ability to experience the pain and the consequences of their behaviors so that they can learn and grow, experience pain, be with it, and learn from it. We are putting truth over perfection when we do this work. We put presence over performance to engage in this tending of our souls. And we do connection over compliance. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It does. It is so important for us to make that distinction and to recognize that there's so many ways in which we choose inauthenticity because it's inconvenient, because it means that we may upset someone. And sometimes it's the easy way out, you know, it doesn't require any kind of confrontation.
It's just easier.
Absolutely.
Well, something has got to give somewhere, and it will, and we'll go into the light for a while. And that's a beautiful thing. But you know, as a culture and individually, the thing to remember is that so much of what drives overserving is a history, and I've really got to get this plug in there, a history of exposure to highly aversive childhood experiences, including physical, emotional, and sexual abuse. That is the bane of our culture these days. And the outwash comes to me and other therapists in the form of a very wounded soul. And it's such a sad thing. But you know what? Those of us who have experienced these traumas, we're the ones that put the face up on it. We put the smile on. We put the do good. I was a high overachiever. I, you know, was a certificate junkie, diploma junkie.
I
You get that.
Yes.
And we, you know, and in doing, putting all of this energy into our serving is we're, what we're doing is we're numbing our reality, and we are not tending to the root, to our souls. When we seek to ignore our truth.
Speaking truth to power. Absolutely. So, in closing, is there anything that we have not touched upon that you think is essential for our community to know?
Okay, great question. Well, here's a freebie, all right? And it's called walking. Walking, I have found, is more therapeutic than just about anything out there. And, you know, just 15 minutes a day to walk, breathe in fresh air, surround yourself with the energy and beauty of our nature, mountains, shores, even our sidewalks, and the plants that grow in the planters. Connect with that. 15 minutes a day is all it takes. Invest
That is,
yourself there first, and you will be hungry for more.
I love that you say that because I keep on expressing to people that, the journey of healing is not as complex and as difficult and as expensive and wacky as people make it seem. It is the simplest things that can do the most for our heart, our bodies, our minds, and our spirit. And I love that you bring forth the simplicity of walking and the absolute powerful way in which it can help you to reintegrate all those different aspects of your being in simply putting one foot in front of the other, over and over again,
Over again.
one step at
Exactly.
a time. Ah, thank you so very much, Luis, for being able to share this powerful message with us. And ladies, until next time, peace and blessings.
Thank you for tuning in for this episode of Mommy Heal Thyself. If you like what we're doing here, please share, subscribe, like us, and leave a comment. Your feedback is very much appreciated.